See, these pews, every one of them ought to be full. But it's laziness. And God's calling you into accountability. It's time the church get busy. I'm not talking about you that are here. I'm talking about you that are watching us that should be here. The Bible says in the last days, deception's going to run wild. I'm not preaching to you yet. And it's here, folks. If you don't think that people are just staying at home when they ought to be in the house of God, they're watching us online, and I appreciate those that are watching us online. If you're sick and you can't get out, that's wonderful. But if you're home and you're well and you're just being lazy, shame on you. You need the body of Christ. You need to be in the house of God, because there's things that happen here in this presence that you can't feel on the TV camera. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You know I'm telling you the truth. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as some would do, especially when, as the day draws near, as it gets closer. Folks, you better buckle up is what I'm telling you. We may be in for a bumpy ride. Everybody's saying, oh, the rapture of the church, the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. We're going to get out of here. Maybe not so quick. We're going to get out of here. God's going to deliver us, but he didn't say we're not going to go through some bumps and turmoil. I'm telling you right now, the way I feel in my spirit is most of the body of Christ could not handle too many bumps. We'd lose our faith. Why? Because there's such a distance between God and you. I'm going to preach before I preach. In John chapter 5, verse 24 through 47, I'm going to tell you, sometimes sermons come together so easily, and then other times you just have to work for them. And this was a week of work, I promise you. And I probably read this scripture 10, 15 times, come in and get a sermon, and the next day come back in, tear that one up, throw it away, and start all over. And I just kept saying, God, I know, you know, this scripture is not difficult to understand. It's difficult to relate. How does it relate to us today? What are you saying to us today? See, I'm not here to give you a history lesson. I'm not here to teach you English. I'm not here to teach you theology. I'm here to give you the word of the Lord. What do you need for this moment in time? What is Jesus Christ speaking to the body of Christ right now? Are you awake? I titled this, The Promise and the Witness. The Promise and the Witness. And I'm not mad, by the way. I'm not angry in any way. I know sometimes I seem that way, but I'm not. But I might get mad. All right. Verse 24. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. You hear that? Shall not come into judgment. Shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I did not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent. Him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you can have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, and you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words? Father God, we just come before you today, Lord, recognizing that you have a word for this church, for these individual people, God, for those watching us online. And God, I pray, Lord, let my heart be attuned to yours, God. I pray that my ear would be sensitive to the Spirit of God today so that you can speak life. God, I pray that in no way, Lord, these people will hear condemnation, God, but they will hear the Father's love crying out for his children, God. Lord, I know that's your heart today, God. I know your heart is to stir us up and to draw us closer, God. We need your touch. Lord, you said you're coming back for a bride, God, without spot or wrinkle. And Lord, some of us look like we slept all night in our clothes, God. We need to get some things right. We need to get some things out of our heart and life, out of our mind, God. We need some freedom today, God. And I pray, Lord, Spirit of God, have your perfect way in this service. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The very first thing you have to understand is every word here is written in red. Everybody's Bible does that. Everybody's Bible. Red means that's the actual words of Christ. Jesus is speaking. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Jews that he knows in his heart want to kill him, right? They want to kill him. Why? Because he healed that man and told him to pick up his bed and walk, and he did it on the Sabbath. So he broke their Sabbath rule, not realizing the Spirit, not realizing the love of God, the compassion of God that set this man free. They're just so legalistic. All they can see is you broke the rules. And you're disturbing, you're turning over our apple cart, and we don't like you. So he is speaking to them. So we have got to pull out the truth of this without the condemnation of it. Okay? Stay with me. These Jews knew a couple of things that you may not know. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, and chapter 17, verse 6, he says that two or three witnesses are necessary to establish a fact. That's the Old Testament law. When he said there is one that accuses you, it's Moses. I don't know. When I was reading that, I expected him to say the devil. How many did you expect that? Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but he didn't say Satan is accusing you. He said Moses is accusing you. What he's saying, the law that you're using against me is actually a witness against you. That's pretty good. Right? I wasn't expecting to say that. But he said, if you'll hear my word and believe in him who sent me, you will receive everlasting life and not come into judgment. And every one of us says, yay, yes and amen. I don't want to come into judgment. I want to be free from judgment, right? I'm going to say it till you say amen. We want to be free from judgment, right? Amen. Stay with me. He says here that that you will receive everlasting life. When does everlasting life start? Not in heaven. Even eternal life doesn't start in heaven. It starts now. It starts the moment that you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. Then you start the path into everlasting eternal life. What is that word? That Greek word is Zoe. It's the same word that God breathed into Adam, the Zoe breath of God, and he received life. It literally means life filled with vitality. I don't know about you, but I've been dealing with a lot of Christians in the last few weeks that you cannot say that life is filled with vitality. It seems we are living so beneath our means. We're living so beneath what God has died to give us that has stirred my spirit. I'm not mad. I hope that you know I'm not mad, but I'm a little bit angry with the devil because he's pulling the wool over our eyes and we're not living in the freedom that Christ died to give us. And why not? And we're not even stirred up about it. He says two things. You've got to hear my word and you got to believe in him who sent me. And every one of us know that, because I would say everybody in this room is born again. I think I know everybody in this room pretty well. You're born again. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to heaven. Hallelujah. But are you going to go in defeat? I hope not. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? You mean defeated Christians are going to heaven? Yeah, by the masses. Why? Because they believe. They believe they're going to heaven. But is that Christ's best? No. See, defeated Christians don't take others with them. You're no attraction to the world. And Christ says, you are my ambassadors. I want you to be the magnets out there, drawing people to Christ. But if we're living beneath what Christ has set us free from, then we're not going to attract others to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says this, once you were dead, he's not talking about physical. He's talking about a spiritual death. Come on, folks. Do we need to do a Jericho march in here today? Just walk around this place and let the dead walls fall. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Can I say it a different way? He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those you work with. Of those that you're rubbing shoulders with every day. All of us used to live in that way, following the passionate desires and the inclination of the sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And if you don't have the next two words underlined, you shame on you, underline them. But God. But God. It's not your idea. It's not because you're good. It's because he is good. Come on, folks. If we can sing victory in Jesus, this is victory in Jesus. But God, who is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Hallelujah! God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's the gift of God. That's the NLT. I love that version right there. Romans 10 says, verse 9 and 10, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe. The word believe is, in the Greek, is pistio or something like that. He says, trust in, have faith in, be fully convinced of. It's more than credence in church doctrine. Did you hear me? It's more than credence. It's more than saying, yeah, I agree with that. But it's an expresses reliance upon a personal trust that produces obedience. If your faith does not produce obedience, something is, listen to me. If your faith does not produce obedience, something is wrong with your faith. Quit staring off in the air. The Spirit of God is here trying to talk to you. And your minds are, I look in your eyes and you're like, yeah, we got popcorn on the ceiling. You're stirring me up. Sorry about that. Okay. Jesus, help me control. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you were made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. He says that we have passed from death, the death of a sinner, the spiritual dead. We pass from death into life. The Greek word there is, where is it? Metabaino. And it means you have changed residence. Metabaino. You have changed residence. I want you to see and understand the work that he has done in your heart. Because the devil is lying to us. The devil is fooling the church. And we're not walking in the freedom. We're not walking in the liberty. Folks, I can't tell you how many people that I have heard in the last few months. They're sitting in the pew, but they're closet alcoholics. These are born again children of God. Are you following me? Do you really believe that Jesus died so that we could be a closet alcoholic and sit in the pew and in a spirit-filled church? I mean, there's people, their lives are a mess. No wonder the world looks at us and says, well, I don't see much difference in you and me. Well, there should be. I know that all of us get disappointed with God because we have our things that we believe he ought to do. When I was 9 years old, the Lord just brought this to my remembrance. I mean, I hadn't thought about this in 40 years at least. I was sitting behind my desk just a few minutes ago and the Lord brought that to my memory. There was a sweet young lady in our church, went to a very small church. I don't even remember her first name, but her last name popped in my mind. It was Sister Morgan. She couldn't have been 40 years old. She had two little kids about my age. She's probably in her 30s. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what went wrong, what disease she got, but she got very, very sick. I'm guessing maybe it was cancer. 9-year-old little boy. Buddy, I began to pray for Sister Morgan. Loved that lady. She was a sweetheart of a lady. But Sister Morgan died. And in this 9-year-old heart, there was a great disappointment. Because I was believing God. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some disappointments. And if your disappointments turn you away from God, you'll have many of them. But for some reason, the 9-year-old heart in this little boy didn't turn away from God. He turned towards God in his disappointment. And that's what we have to do. Are you following me, church? I'm telling you, life is difficult. Life is hard. And I didn't know the verse when I was 9 years old that the judgments of the Lord are right and altogether true. I know it today. And I still have disappointment. I still have things that I'm praying for that the Lord chooses in His sovereign wisdom to go in a different direction. I don't understand why. Why doesn't He listen to me? Why doesn't He listen to you? Why does not everything go our way? We would be spoiled brats if that was the case. I'm thankful that God is sovereign. I'm thankful that sometimes I'm disappointed. Why? It draws me to Him. I know maybe that doesn't sound right to you, but it should. I've had a change of residence, folks. I've had a transition. I've gone from death into life. I will not make my bed in hell. I will make a home in glory, right? I know what it's like to sing the song Victory in Jesus. See, when I was 7 years old, they were singing that song. When I was 7 years old, an evangelist had come to our church and I thought, I am a sinner and I need to give my heart to Jesus. At 7 years old, and He was faithful to me and has been. He says that there's two things. He says this in the negative way, but when you turn it around, you get this. There's two things that's got to be in you as a believer. Listen to me. As a believer, these two things have to be in you. Number one, does the Word of God abide in you? Dwell in you? Tabernacle is the word. And when you get squeezed by life, what comes out? Does anger? Are you following me? I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to you. When you get squeezed, when you go in that vice grip of life and man, the devil just having his way with you for a little while. Is it your faith that arises and you get mad at the devil and you say, you get behind me, Satan. Do you know who you're speaking to? I'm blood-bought Son of God. Or do you lay down and just let Him roll over? You hear me? I am not laying down. I love what Job said. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Everything will not go my way. Everything will not go your way. Get ready. Listen to me. Get ready. I'm trying to warn you. Get ready. He said, you've got to have my word abiding in you. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. The word of God. When you get squeezed, does His word come out? He says, number one, you have to have that word abiding in you. But number two, the love of God's got to be there. Well, what does that mean? The love of God must compel us to do something. Does the love of God compel you to pray? Does the love of God compel you to witness? Does the love of God compel you to be who He's called you to be? He says that God begins to speak of judgment. Do you know, I had never seen this verse. I had never paid attention to this verse. He says basically that the dead is going to hear the voice of God and will live. And where did my mind go? Rapture of the church, right? Yeah, the dead is going to rise first, what the scripture says. We know that, but that's more than that. That's more than that. I never had seen this. He said that some of us are going to be, will come up for the resurrection of life. That's you in this room. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The resurrection of life. That's our resurrection. That's our next resurrection. But others will be resurrected for the resurrection of the condemnation. That's the people you love. That one day they will get, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every person at some point in their life is going to look at Christ and say, I missed it. Amen. I don't want a soul that I know to miss it. The righteous dead will hear. Their bodies are going to come out of the grave, as we know. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, I'm believing I'm going to be one of those, until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, harpazo, snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I look forward to that day. But in Revelation chapter 20, he talks about the resurrection of the condemnation. Verse 11, he says, I saw a great white throne judgment and one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. The books were open, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Folks, that's reality. I don't like to talk about hell. But it's reality. We love to talk about heaven, but sometimes I think we need to talk about hell, because you know people that are going there. It's not by your judgment. I'm not judging anybody, but the Bible says you got to believe. Some people, this scares. Christian, this scares. Because they think, I don't want to be in that great white. Well, you're not going to be. Christians don't go to the great white throne judgment, but we are judged. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he didn't have this one. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Matthew 12, I don't know, somewhere 35, 36, 37, somewhere through there, he says, you're going to give an account for every word that you speak. Anybody right now saying, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus. Put that under the blood, put it under the blood. Right? I do that pretty regularly. We will be judged. You remember the verse that says wood, hay, and stubble, silver and gold? There's some things going to be consumed in your life, going to be burned up, but it's what Christ has done in your life that's going to stand forever. Gold and silver and precious stones. Don't fear the great white throne judgment. As a believer, you won't go there. You're not going to be there. But you ought to be concerned about those you know and love that one day they're missing it. They're missing it. And you have a voice in their life. Say, well, they don't listen to me. Well, that's maybe very, very true. See, an effort for the Jews to know that Jesus was the Messiah. See, if you miss the compassion of Christ in this little passage of scripture, you've missed it all. Jesus could have left these folks alone. He could have ignored them, but he didn't. He went into this great truth of what he's telling them today. Why? Because these Jews are ready to kill him, and he's not concerned about his own life. He loves them. He doesn't want to see them go into eternity without him. He confronts their lack of knowledge. Verse 16, going back, he said, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. But he had done these things on the Sabbath and claimed equality with God. And they thought that was absolutely wrong. You know, you can't claim to be a son of God. The law of Moses taught them there must be two or three witnesses. In other words, if you killed my Aunt Susie, I could bring you to a court of law. But if there was not, and not me, but unless there was two or three witnesses to witness that you had done this murder, we could not put you to death. Talking Old Testament. a witness, I love Brother Art used to say this, a witness is not someone you've told. A witness is somebody who's seen it with their own eyes. And so Jesus is going through this great, I hope we get this. Jesus is going through these great measures to tell them there is a witness. This, if I witness of myself, he says, this is, it's not right. It's not good. I cannot witness that I'm the Messiah. He said, but if others come to you and tell you that, you'd believe them. But he said, there are some, and he gives four things that have witnessed. One, number one was John the Baptist. He said, oh, you were glad to hear him for a little while. You were inviting him out. You wanted to see what he had to say. He says, you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. And we know that. We know that John was the one that, the forerunner before Christ. But he said, John was only one. The works and the miracles I do are a witness that I am the Messiah. There's no other man doing these things. He said, the Father himself has testified to me. What's he talking about? Specifically, I think he's talking about his baptism. When God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. He did that three times on earth. Three times he spoke from heaven. And he said, the last thing is the scriptures. He says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. He says, Moses is accusing you because Moses is speaking of me. Remember what we always say, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, right? Verse 40, he says, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Folks, listen to me just a second longer. I'm going to quit. You are bearing things in your soul. You are bearing things in your soul that you have been unwilling to take out of the darkness into the light. The Lord revealed this to me an hour ago in my office. This was not in my notes. He said, you need to confess some things. Not everything is a sin. Something is just weights. The church has stopped confessing. Are you hearing me? We think that's a Catholic thing. It's not a Catholic thing. It's a Bible thing. Amen. Confession is right. Confess your sins one to another that you may be forgiven. There are believers in this room today. You are not walking in everlasting life. Are you hearing me? Let me say it. Let me rephrase that. You have everlasting life, but you're not walking in that vitality right now. You're walking beneath what Christ has freed you from. Why? Because you are unwilling to take things out of the darkness into the light. I'm going to ask my deacons to come back up, stand without your wives, just the men. Come up and stand. And folks, there might not be one person that comes to you, and that's okay. It's on me. But this is just what I felt like the Lord told me to do. I feel like the Lord says, bring your deacons up, and I'm going to put it on you. If you need to confess sin, you can confess it to these men. And it stays right here. It just stays between you and them. But this is going to be an opportunity for you to come up and say, I've done this in the last week and I just need to get it off my soul. I need to come free from this. Say, Pastor, I've never seen this done in church, and neither have I. Neither have I. I've never seen this done in church. Why? Because the church has quit doing it. But I'm telling you, we're in a mess. Are you listening to me? We're in a mess. The body of Christ is in a mess. And I want you to walk in eternal life. I want you to walk in the vitality of what Christ has died to give you. Would you stand with me? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Today, you can take this opportunity to get free from some stuff. Maybe you have some problem with unforgiveness. Maybe you're a closet drinker. Maybe these things are going on in your life. I'm telling you, just come up and confess it. Come up and say, I need to get this off my heart. I need to get free from this. And I'm asking Jesus to forgive me, but I'm confessing it to you. Now, the truth of the matter is, probably every one of us need to be up here. You have an opportunity today. You can leave this room exactly the way you walked in it, or you can leave this place free in Christ. Are you following me? I believe every one of us is born again. But I want to lead you in a prayer right now. You need to pray with me. Father, I pray, God, right now that you would forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and you forgave me of my sins, God. And I ask you, Lord, right now to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins, God. Make me a son and open my ears that I would hear the voice of God from now on. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I pray, God, that I would walk in that Zoe life, that everlasting vitality, God. I pray, God, that my past would be removed, God, and that the shame of my past would be gone. God, free me from those things, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those, Lord, that are coming up, Lord, and listening to the Spirit of God and saying, God, I need to get this off my heart. I don't need to hide anything before you anymore, God. I want to be clean. I want to be free, God. And Lord, I confess to this brother, Lord, I confess, God, that I have been hiding things, Lord, that my life is a mess, God, and I need the freedom right now. I need the freedom that the Scripture has talked about. Father, free me, Lord. Break the tie that binds me to this world, God. Cut it off, Lord, right now. Jesus, I pray right now, God, free those in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's spend some moments worshiping the Lord. If Emma wants to get ready for baptism, she's going to be baptized now. Okay. I don't know if you need to get her or what. The security team can radio for her, Jeremy.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Lord, I need.
Here they are. We have six or seven people are going to be baptized today. Only one, I believe, in this service. No one else in this service wants to be baptized, right? And so I've asked her, guys, you can go ahead and be seated. I've asked Jeremy, this is her dad, and Jeremy is going to take part in her baptism. And so before you get in there, though, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Emmerlyn Wangard.
This is Grandma and Grandpa over here, and the Lord just brought this verse to me. He says, it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of its garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. What's happened is what you're seeing today is a godly heritage that's being passed down from generation. And so we commend Paul and Cindy. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not about Paul and Cindy. This is about Jesus Christ and what he's done in their life, passed down to their son, passed down to their granddaughter. I think that should be celebrated myself. So, amen. So, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Plan on living for God all the days of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, hop in that tub. We warmed it up for you today. Jeff Dowdy got baptized yesterday. He's afraid his heart was going to go out of rhythm. It was cold, cold. Now get where you need to get to see this, but there you are. I've asked Dad to help me baptize. I love to see a father baptize his children. I think it makes for a moment in history of time that you can remember this moment. And Jesus never said only pastors can baptize. Right? You, as a born-again believer, can baptize your friends. Amen. All right. I baptize you. Oh, she's going to baptize herself. Let's just pray. Jesus, I pray, God, for the anointing of God in this family to come down to her. God, I pray that today would mark a day in her life, Lord, where she becomes courageous for you, God, where she becomes a mighty warrior, a woman of God, Lord, that she would influence her friends and her society, God. Keep her, hold her, and empower her today by the mighty name of Christ. All right. We baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Step right out here. Amen. Amen. Where's Brother Denny? Brother Denny.
Stand with us, please. It's a wonderful day when we get to join together with a believer in baptism.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.